yoke up on me, man? Should I get ready? Are we going to the ground or what's going on? How will you be found, O Muslim? Guilty or not guilty? Which is it? I'll make it real clear. You break civil law, you go to jail. You break God's law, you go to hell.
You need to be a Christian because Jesus is the Son of God.
Prove to me. Give me proof.
Well, it's a John 3:16. It's a Bible.
Peace be with you. Welcome to the D Show. I'm your host. Subscribe if you haven't already. I'm going to take you to this clip real quick.
You consider
me a non-believer.
I'm an infidel, right?
Oh, you're a bastard, yes, is what you are.
Right?
God bastard, considers you a bastard child. That's right. You're a bastard child. Your religion is a bastard religion. That's Bible. Your issue isn't with me, it's with my holy book.
Very nice. His religion is killing people right now as you and I are talking.
I'm just trying to understand, what group are you with?
We're just Bible believers, that's all.
Now you can see, obviously, this person, these extremists, are trying to provoke the Muslims. And by standing in front of a mosque, we would say, come in the mosque. Come and sit down. Be a man. Be a decent human being. And sit down and break bread with your neighbor. Sit down and go ahead and ask your questions. But standing like some vigilante, like some thug in front, that's not the way to be mimicking the Prince of Peace, as you call him, Jesus, who we love. And that's what we're going to be talking about here today on The Dean Show, answering your questions that you standing out in front of the mosque might have, or the misconceptions here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Dean Show. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah, good.
Now, you see, we're going to go to this clip real quick.
Yep.
Go ahead. This is America.
It is.
Mr. Mayor.
I'm telling you, I love you, my brother.
You love me?
And I hope,
if you love me, do me a favor, and when you chop my head, use a real sharp knife. Show your love that way. Don't use a dull blade. Show your love and use a sharp knife. She's got plenty of skin showing. She's got plenty of skin showing. You need to cover that face.
Now, we can see, obviously, they have some misinformation. Yes. They have a big misunderstanding. Yes. And they're calling people to stand in front of the mosque. We're saying, come in the mosque.
True, yes.
Come break some bread with us.
Definitely, yes.
What would you say to someone like that?
Well, outside? Come in and have an American bread broken up between both of us.
Have some tea,
sure.
Some coffee,
some
chai.
And chai, yeah.
Biryani.
Yes, we're happy to share for free.
Recently, there was a big, you have Islamophobia.
Yes.
I don't know how it is in Australia. It's really growing here. You have, it seems like the KKK, they got rid of these silly white thobes, the robes, and now they end up, coming out in different forms.
That's
so this is that same extremist behavior.
Yep.
But you had some individuals who
were
standing in front of the mosque. They had a huge, big rally.
Yes.
They came in the mosque
and
changed their ways. They got to sit and communicate with the Muslims.
Yes.
Totally changed their perceptions. People are seeing a picture right now of one of the people who was with the key organizers and totally different perception.
Sure.
Here's Jason Ledger and the organizer of Friday's rally wearing their profanity-laced T-shirts. Now, things have changed.
Out of respect for the Islamic people, knowing what I know now, since I have talked to them and spoke with them, no, I would not do that again. Just because I don't want to offend or hurt those people.
While at Friday's rally, Ledger spoke with a group of people who pray at the mosque, and he was invited inside.
But when I took a second to sit down and listen to them and actually enter their mosque and go in and watch some of their prayers, it was a beautiful thing, and they answered some of my questions that I had.
Just change it. See, point number one, these Islamophobes, first of all, the big mistake that they make is they don't communicate with the Muslims. It's like I'm blaming somebody, but I have never spoken to them firsthand. And without this firsthand information, all that you have is only misconception. Either you want to believe in it or you want to create a misconception. That's what you would be with. Second point is, I would say we should feel sad for these people. This is a mental status. This is some sort of psychological problem that they have. And we have to, be helpful to them and support them in coming out of that perception that they have.
Now, one thing is, they've heard this, many of them.
Yes.
But we'll repeat it again for many people that don't. Because it really, I think it softens the heart, and it's the truth that there is no other religion that makes it an article of faith to believe and love Jesus as one of the
That's
mightiest messengers of God.
Very right.
Yes. But they say now, they say, no, no, you don't love him because you don't accept him as the only begotten Son of God.
Well, that's a John 3:16. It's a Bible verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
What would you say?
Yeah, okay. See, point number one, as we discussed, the Son of God, the concept of Son of God in the Bible has a language. It has a language where it refers to anyone and everyone as Son of God. It refers to Adam as Son of God, David as Son of God, other prophets as Son of God. It says sons and daughters of God. It even says in Book of Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that anyone who believes in God, follows God, is a son of God. It's a metaphor. So everyone's a son of God based on that. But if you look at the original Greek Hebrew word, which the Jews used to believe in, they would translate the word Son of God and they would understand it as servant of God. So as Muslims, we do believe that Jesus is servant of God, and Jesus and every other prophet is servant of God, including me, you, and everyone else. So we are all servants of God. So truly, from the Christian perspective, from the biblical scriptural perspective, Muslims do believe in Jesus the way he should be believed in, that is, the servant of God.
Did Jesus ever, now I'm not talking about some unambiguous, something unclear, something clear that he identified himself, that I am God, I'm the literal Son of God, if you don't believe that I came to die for your sins, you're going to the hellfire. Did he ever say that?
Sure. Point number one, never, ever he said that. There is no unequivocal statement in the entire Bible, in any version of the Bible, that Jesus said, I am God. Or where he said, I have come to die for your sins. Rather, I'll give you a passage in Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. A person comes to Jesus and he says, Gospel of Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. In different places, a person comes to Jesus and he asks, what good thing shall I do to go to paradise? Isn't it the right time for Jesus to say, just believe in that I've come to die for your sins? He says, no, for you to go to paradise, keep the commandments. That's it. So you've got to keep the commandments to go to paradise. Coming to the subject of concept of God or Jesus claiming to be divine, point number one, Jesus himself denied from being divine. He said in Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verse 29, he said, Shema Israelu, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, meaning, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's like saying, the president, your president and my president, our president is President Barack Obama. Now, can Barack Obama be you or me? No, because the language I'm using, I'm saying our president is Barack Obama. If I'm the president, my language would be, I am the president of yours. But here I'm saying our president is Barack Obama. Jesus is similarly saying in the Bible, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. Meaning he's saying, I can't be the Lord. He goes further in Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 30. Amazing verse of the Bible. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So if someone's saying, I cannot do anything by myself, at least that person's not God.
Exactly, yeah.
At least that person's not God. That's all. So now he's continuously denying from being God.
And that's clear. And it seems many people consider you, would they say, a Bible scholar, a Christian, scholar of Christianity. You've been studying the Christian faith for a long time, student of comparative religion. Yes. So you're an expert in this field. You know the verses, people can go check them out. So there is not any clear verse, but there are clear verses stating the opposite.
Very true. There is not a single unequivocal statement of Jesus, peace be upon him, in the entire Bible, in any version, where he said, I am God. Imagine God comes on the earth and forgets to say, I am God. It just does not add up. So that's not the case at all.
But we worship the God of Jesus, the one that Jesus worshiped. Because
yes.
Jesus prayed in the Bible,
exactly.
Didn't he? He fell on his face
Very
like
true.
We do.
Very true. He was when he was put on the cross according to the Bible in Gospel of Matthew and Luke, he looks up and he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? So he's praying to someone. According to the Bible, he fell on the face and he prayed to God. So he himself is praying to someone. So let us pray to the one whom Jesus prays. So let us follow Jesus step by step in every move of his.
Can you define now, I had actually a real situation where a person had a real, really hard time. He said, look, if God sent me on a mission, there's no way I'd be complaining to God. Here we have Jesus allegedly complained, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
I mean, right there, that's telling you something right there.
Definitely, that's right, exactly. Now see, the Christians generally and the church are taught that Jesus, he willingly sacrificed himself for the sins of the human world and he gave himself to God. Now, these words of Jesus, peace be upon him, which are only inscribed in the Bible in the original language. So if you go to the Bible, these are in its real own terms. So Jesus says, Eli, Eli, he's referring to God. And that's the name of the God, Eli, which is very close to the Arabic word Allah. So they were very similar. He's not calling God as God in English. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Why have you forsaken? Why have you put me in this trouble? So he's actually praying to God. He's turning to God. He's asking, seeking help from God. That is what we should pick up from that. We should turn to God, seek help from God, and ask from God.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to help clarify for many of the people, give them the benefit of doubt. Sure. They've been misinformed. They have some misinterpretations, misunderstandings. Open your heart. We're going to be answering some of these misconceptions you might have with an expert in Christianity here when we come back on the Deen Show. Don't go anywhere. Word can't have defects in it, can it?
If it is literally God's word,
yes,
it cannot have defects.
I mean,
but this was written by men. We know that this is a collection, right? Even if you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel according to, right? The thing about the Quran and the biggest, and you know, I'll leave you with this, is the biggest thing for me is, if the Quran is exactly what it says it is. And this doesn't matter whether you're Muslim or not. If the Quran is what it says it is, the Quran is literally the word of God, delivered via Gabriel to Muhammad, who was an unlettered man who couldn't read or write, right? And he was just told to recite, right? That was the first thing, right? First thing he was told, recite,
yes.
Right? So if it is literally the word of God, then that's pretty important to me. And before I became Muslim, I said, if this is the word of God, then I'm going to follow it because I'd be stupid not to.
Back here on the Deen Show, now Jesus, peace be upon him. If he just came back today and you start calling him Jesus, Jesus, first he probably wouldn't turn around because that wasn't, I mean, he'd never heard that name.
Yes.
And then if you asked him, are you a Christian? Yeah. What would he say?
He does not know the word Christianity. He does not know the word Christian because Christ is actually a Latinized word, title of the original name of Jesus, which is Messiah. Isho Messiah or Isa Messiah. That is his real name. So he would not know what Christian is and what Christianity is.
And then if you look and you say, how did he call on God?
Yes. He invited people to one God. He continuously reiterated this belief that there is only one God. And he used the same name that was used in the Bible in the Old Testament by Moses and the previous prophets. Shema Israelu Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. He uses the same title, Adonai. Jesus uses the same word in Gospel of Mark chapter 12 verse 29. Adonai. The same God, the one, the only one who has no image, no face, and who has no partners. And he uses the word on the cross, Eli, which is the same title in Arabic, Allah.
I see in this Passion of the Christ, have you seen this? In Aramaic, they translate Allah as Allah.
Yes.
Have you heard?
Because see, pronunciation in different languages changes. For example, my name is Wasim. In Arabic, it means handsome. I don't know whether you agree with it or not. I'll leave it there. But I come to America, they say to me, they call me Wasim. You go to India, they call me Wasim. But I remain handsome, doesn't matter how you pronounce it. So the name Allah in different languages, they might pronounce it a little different. In Hebrew, Eloi or Elo, and in Aramaic, Allaha. But it's all the same name, God, the one God, that's it.
It's confusing enough when he's calling on another name for God. Obviously, you know, he's not God, but some people say he called on God by the name Jehovah.
Yeah, now the Bible has a language concern here. Every word is, there's something called jaywalking. You know, it adds J to it. Yeso, Jesus. Yehovah, Jehovah. So the J has been added up. It does not exist in its original form. What my concern would be from any language to another language, you don't change the pronoun, the proper noun. The proper noun remains the same. Eddie. You go to India, they'll call you Eddie. They won't call you Jedi, right? It does not change. It should not change. The proper noun remains the same. So same with Jehovah. The original name in the Bible is Yehovah, which resembles very similar to the Arabic name Yahayu. Yahayu, Yehovah, and means the same, the ever-living God.
We accept that.
We accept that. We are with it. We agree with it. The only thing is we said, remove the J. Let the J live in its own place.
Mm-hmm.
And that will solve a lot of issues.
Okay, so it's pretty clear. Now someone with an open heart, open mind can see like, hold on, seems like Jesus, if you look at it, we mentioned that he wouldn't say he was a Christian, never heard the word.
Yes.
But if you ask him, did you submit to the will of God? He would say, yes, it's in the Lord's Prayer. Not thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will.
Thy will
that is actually in one word in Arabic. What is it?
Yes, exactly. I'll just quote that. Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 30. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but thy will. And if you translate that in Arabic, it is ana muslimun, I am Muslim. I don't do things by my will, but the will of the Creator who sent me. He's exactly saying the same thing in his language. And that's what is the translation there.
But if someone says, no, a Christian is one who submits to the will of God. No, no, but you can't translate it like
that.
Yeah,
you can't.
A Muslim is literally one who submits to the will of God.
Islam comes from the Arabic root word salam and silm, peace and submission, submitting to the will of God. And the one who submits is mu-Islam, that is Muslim. So the person who submits his will to the will of God. That's what the title is.
I mean, wow, this is just clear as day. I mean, if you just look up to the sun, you see it. But if you turn away from the sun, you're going to see it.
So no one can help
if you're
you
not looking for the truth, you're not going to see it.
Right.
And it adds up. Tell us, they say, look, you know, even the Mormons, and this is an argument you hear a lot, even the Mormons believe in Jesus, but they're not true followers of his.
Yep. See, in any religion, there are always these different sects, different schools of thought. And within the Christianity as well, you got, you know, Catholics, Protestants, and within them, and then you got more Mormons, and now you have the Jehovah's Witness. All of these are different beliefs in God and have different perspectives. Some believe Jesus is God. Some believe Jesus is in Trinity. Some believe Jesus is not God. So all of these are different sects. What do? You come back to the scripture, what Jesus taught us in the gospel. And from that, we can all come back towards the original thing, original teaching of Jesus, peace be upon him. And Jesus very clearly said in various places of the Bible that, you know, worship one God. And that's it. We go with that.
Go back to basic. Worship the Creator, not the creation.
Not the Creator. Perfect.
Another argument that many of them will have is saying that, look, Jesus was sinless.
Yes.
Muhammad, he sinned.
Yeah.
And the Quran was revealed to a person who sinned. Jesus, he didn't sin, so therefore he must be God.
Yeah. Okay. Now, it's a very good theory to believe Jesus is sinless. As Muslim, we believe Jesus is sinless. So are all the other prophets. But let's come to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Now, the Bible has passages where it says Jesus had a woman who came to him and seeked help. And Jesus said to her, it is not for me to give the bread to the dogs. Imagine if I call someone a dog in this society today, is that not considered a sin? It is. According to the language of the Bible, Jesus committed sin. He converted water to wine. If I give wine to under 18s in America today, I can assure you I will be in trouble, right? So Jesus is giving that. According to the law, it would be a crime. Jesus says in Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verse 27, he says, anyone who does not accept my reign to rule over them, bring them and slay them in front of me.
This is according to
this
the Bible.
This is according to the Bible. Red letters. Red letters in the Bible is direct words of Jesus, peace be upon him. And he says in Luke 19, 27, whoever does not believe in me, bring him here, slay them. This is sin. So according to the Bible, Jesus is sinful. According to Islam, Jesus is sinless. So yes, we believe he's sinless. Now someone who says, no, no, but Muhammad is sinful, in that perspective, even Jesus is sinful according to the Bible. Now what we say is whatever the prophets did, it is according to the command of God. So that is no sin. Now, they have to pick up a particular matter where they say, this is sin. So they say, Muhammad killed people. No, Moses also killed people, but that was the command of God, to fight against those who fight you. So if a thief comes to your house and smashes your wife and your children and you hit him back, they say, no, you are a criminal. You hit someone. Yeah, but I hit in a context, in a reason. I'm not going out killing people or attacking someone's house, but someone attacked my house, I have to defend. So if someone attacked Muhammad's house, if someone attacked his country and killing innocent people, as a leader, you got to defend. You got to fight back. That's what he did. If Jesus was the king of his time, I can assure you, he would have fought back and he would have killed a few who were killing innocents.
Yeah, 3,000. Actually, you mentioned Moses. 3,000 in one day, according to the Bible.
Now, according to the Bible, the Christians believe Jesus is God. So Moses killed people under whose command? Under God's command. Who is God, according to some Christians? Jesus. So who commanded Moses to kill? Jesus. So if it was a God's command, so is the same command for Muhammad, peace be upon him, to fight and kill for the innocents, for the truth, to save the lives.
In a just war.
In a just war, exactly.
So we're going to take a break here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. Let's go ahead. We're going to go right back to the clip and really creating a, you know, outside of a house of worship, creating this just uncomfortable atmosphere, people coming out from worshiping God to this surprise. Many don't even have a chance. They think they're in a dream or something. You got these people with, you know, insulting their religion. Let's go to this clip real quick.
One day you will bow before a true king, King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. the only begotten Son of God, that you will stand before and give an account.
Okay, coming back so people can see now, one thing as we open up, come inside the masjid.
This is our first visit to a mosque. It was absolutely fascinating. We had the opportunity to do a tour and learned a lot about Islam and what the mosque is about, what the faith is about, what the culture is about, and there are many misconceptions that were cleared up for us.
Yes, it was a very enriching religious and cultural experience. I felt very at home, very comfortable, and it was it's such a peaceful environment, and it does reflect on the people and the religion and the culture. It was a fascinating experience, and I am encouraged to learn more about it.
Come and sit and talk with your brother in humanity. We might not agree on some things, but we can have a healthy dialogue to make the communities, the world that we live in, a better place. The guy's obviously provoking. He's mentioning one thing. Look, he's saying that, okay, look, I'm an infidel. What you're supposed to do with me? And he actually got a shirt that has a line across it saying, cut here. What do you say to someone?
See,
like
point
that?
Number one, some of these people have no understanding and no clue of the religion they're trying to represent. So point number one, they try to pick up some misconceptions. They've been bombarded with wrong understanding and misinterpretation of Islam. And they buy it. And then they try to provoke with that. Point number one, we tell them, see, what you're trying to propagate is part of your religion as well. You're trying to only pick up one aspect and leave the other. They say Islam says to kill and behead, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in any ayah of the Quran, when he says to fight, if you read the same verse complete, it says to fight those who fight against you. So it's only a reaction. It's only to protect, not to kill people by default. And if that was true, what he's claiming, he would have been attacked by now, right?
Yeah.
But he's not. Rather, he is the one attacking. He's going all the way to the mosque where 1,000 worshippers are there, but he's not yet attacked. Right?
Yeah.
So what he's claiming is backfiring him. He's not right according to that. Coming back to the Muslim community, what should a Muslim do in that situation? Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Asr, Surah number 103, ayah number 3, وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. At that time, be patient. That's what exactly you got to do. So you be patient in that case and just communicate and convey at that time. That's the best that you should do.
Now he'll say, look, that the Bible condemns all false gods, religions. What do you say?
See, many people, again, cannot relate Islam with all of these religions. They think Islam is a new religion. It's a different religion. They fail to realize Islam is the most inclusive religion. Islam includes everyone. What is Judaism? To believe in Moses and to follow the Torah. As a Muslim, I am commanded to believe in Moses and follow Torah. Technically, every Muslim is already a Jew. Christianity, to believe in Jesus and follow gospel. Every Muslim is technically already a Christian. He believes in Jesus and follows the gospel. Buddhism says to believe in karma. What you do comes back to you. Islam already believes in a very organized format of karma. Whatever you do, you will have it back on the Day of Judgment. So it's a complete system. It includes every faith and belief. Now, what these people are trying to do is they're separating Islam with everything else. For example, they think Islam has no alcoholism, right? If you come back to that, even the Bible says the same. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Maidah, Surah number 5, ayah number 3, Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 173, that alcohol has been prohibited. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sunan ibn Majah, Warim number 3, Hadith number 3371, that alcohol is the mother of all evils. So it should be stopped. But people think, no, this is just Islamic thing. Nothing to do with the other religions. But the Bible says, in Book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 1, Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, it says that even alcohol is prohibited. It says even the pork, that what Islam says pork is prohibited, this is also prohibited in the Christian Bible. It says, in Book of Leviticus, chapter number 11, verses 7 and 8, Book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 8, pork is prohibited. So all of these, Islam is only a continuation of the teachings of Christ. How Christianity is the continuation of the teachings of Moses? Islam is the continuation of the teachings of Christ and a fulfillment of that.
Now, we covered earlier, clearly there are no clear statements that Jesus ever said he was God, to worship him, a literal son of God. He was a servant of God.
Yes.
All the evidence points that he was a mighty messenger of God, just like Abraham, Moses, Noah. They all call people to worship the Creator, not the creation.
Yes.
Now, on the flip side, what is clear in the Bible and also in the Quran, that if someone sets up a partner next to God, that if someone worships someone, worship a messenger, a saint, an idol, an icon, a dead person on the ground, that can end you up in the hellfire forever.
Exactly. Now this is exactly the teaching of the Bible as well. It clearly states the committing of shirk, associating a partner to God. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 20, verses 3 to 5. Book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verses 3 to 5. All of these verses very clearly claim that anyone who associates a partner with God, God says, I am a jealous God, and I will punish you for that. So God is absolutely clear in the Bible that you should not associate a partner with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says similar in the Quran, in Surah Maidah, Surah number 5, ayah number 72. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. That anyone who commits association with God, commits shirk, there is paradise has been forbidden and they will be thrown in the hellfire. So shirk, that is associating partners with God, worshipping another God, a false God or a fake God, according to every religion, Judaism, Christianity and Islam, this is not permissible. So we all stand united on monotheism of God. So the moment someone makes a statue and worships it, you're breaking your own religion straight away.
Wow, this is really point clear. I mean, and we obviously, when you take it back and you look at how Jesus lived his life, how he called people to have a relationship with the Creator, he called people away from idol worship, worshiping himself. He didn't even want to be called good, right?
Exactly.
Let alone God. Yes. It's same like Abraham, Moses, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In another shows, we're almost short on time. They go ahead and slur insults at the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Lukewarm Muslims.
Cover it when you cover yours.
Your guys are lukewarm. Here's an infidel right here. There, you got that little girl? She's married material right now. Your prophet.
You see Muslims getting emotional. Right,
How do we respond? Now, this is a time where we live. Now, when the people who hate something, they can't find a rational reason, they pick up into this bigotry. They pick up into this hate and they pick up into this abuse. So this point number one, it shows straight away that they don't have rationality anymore. Now, how do we respond to that? First of all, I would like to let these Islamophobic bigots know that the very religion you are abusing, this religion does not even allow us to abuse you back. We believe in such a mighty religion. You make cartoons of Prophet Muhammad? Prophet Muhammad said in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume number 9, hadith number 646, he said, you cannot make cartoons. So if you make 100 cartoons of Prophet Muhammad, I, to respond to you, I can't make one cartoon of yours. Because Muhammad, peace be upon him, said to me, don't abuse anybody with making cartoons. So I will never respond to you abusing. Point number two, the French cartoonist who made the cartoons, the French people, they have to realize this. The same cartoonist and the same magazine was banned by the French government a few years ago for making an abusive cartoon of an ex-president of France. Come on. You ban him already, but when he makes cartoons of Prophet Muhammad, you say, no, he's allowed to make. Mm-hmm. So this is complete hypocrisy on an institutional level.
Big time.
But what do we do? How do we respond to them? Education. This is very important. How do I respond to these bigots, especially in the France, who abuse the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I remind them of the French history. Lamartine, a very prominent French historian, writes in his book, Historique de la Turque, published from Paris in the year 1854, volume number 2, page number 276, he says, if greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astounding results are the three criteria to judge any human genius, who could dare compare any great man in modern history with Muhammad, peace be upon him? If the French history is evident of the greatness of Prophet Muhammad, then the French should abstain themselves from abusing such a great man.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We're out of time. If people want to get a hold of you, they want to invite you to some of their campuses, maybe where this incident took place, and would these people be invited also?
Definitely. I would love to communicate with them. See, this is what you've got to do. What did Prophet Muhammad do with Abu Jahl? Communicate, convey. And what did he do? From amongst them, Umar became Muslim. It is always possible. One last example I'll give. You know, there's a big politician from Netherlands, Geert Wilders. His job is to spread right-wing extremism against Islam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of his research men, Arnold van Doon, who used to research against Prophet Muhammad for years, 2 years ago, through his research on the biography of Prophet Muhammad, where his full-time job is to take out mistakes, he said, I could not resist becoming a follower of Prophet Muhammad. 2013, he goes to Mecca, he embraces Islam, he goes to the city of Medina. He was part of the Fitna movie as well, the abusive movie made against Prophet Muhammad. He went there and he said, I have spent my time abusing the Prophet. I'll spend the rest of my life, I promise, to bring back the praise to Prophet Muhammad.
Amazing.
You can't resist following this man, Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Thank you so much. May God Almighty Allah reward you.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
And we covered a lot in this episode one. Don't stand outside the mosque, come inside the mosque. Be man enough, courageous enough to sit. It's easy just to let out hot venom. sit back, let's have some tea, some chai, some coffee, and talk to the Muslims. You got to learn a lot from this episode. You might not agree, but the facts made it clear from a Bible expert, a Christian expert here on Christianity, that nowhere did ever Jesus ever call people to worship himself as a God or a literal son of God. He was a servant of God. He fell on his face and he prayed to God. He called people to worship the Creator, not the creation. And you see what Islam talks about as far as violence. So you got your facts, your information all mixed up. So I'm glad you tuned into the Deen Show to find out the truth. And God willing, when you pray to God directly, because you might be confused, a lot of the things you've heard is not adding up. And you came here like, wow, this stuff makes sense. The first point of reference is to do what Jesus did. Call on God Almighty alone and ask Him to make it clear, and the truth shall set you free. Otherwise, you're going to be living with this hatred and anxiety in your heart, and you're just going to be upsetting yourself and other people. And at the end, what do you got? Nothing. Subscribe to The Deen Show if you haven't already. Continue to tune in here every week. And until next time, we'll see you then. Peace be with you.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.